May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary came to the place where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Nevertheless, she persisted is an expression adopted by the feminist movement, especially in the United States. Became popular in 2017 after the United States Senate voted to require Senator Elizabeth Warren to stop speaking during the confirmation of Senator Jeff Sessions as US Attorney General. She didn't. The expression went viral as feminists posted it on social media with hashtag references to other women down the decades. Its meaning has expanded to refer more broadly to women's persistence in breaking barriers despite being silenced or ignored. I have always considered myself a feminist. I'm proud to call myself a feminist. And I think in particular about two women in my life who have helped shape my Christian faith and feminism. Both embodied that phrase, "Nevertheless, she persisted." Firstly, my aunt, my mum's sister, Jean Bishop. She was a missionary for CMS in northern India from 1966 to 1992, their longest-serving missionary in that part of the world. She worked as an administrator of a girls' school, St. Thomas's in Bihar, northern India. It has to be St. Thomas's. He was the apostle who took Christianity to India, and many of their churches are called St. Thomas. And I think we sometimes forget that Christianity has been in India since the very beginning. And educating girls was very important to her. It was important to her because, although she passed the 11 plus, she couldn't go to grammar school, so missed out on any chance of going to university. The reason? Well, my mum's family could only afford to send one child to grammar school, and it was going to be the boy, her brother, my Uncle Eric. And she'd come home from India on leave about every 3 years or so, and she was the first, and until me, the only woman to preach from the pulpit at St. Cuthbert's. One of my late aunt's friends is the Reverend Bernice Broggio, which I always think is a wonderful name to conjure with, who was originally a social worker in the St. Paul's district of Bristol, a pretty challenging, deprived area of that city, and then became a deaconess, as women deacons were then called, for a long, 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 long time. I was living in London during the time she was a deacon in a parish in South London, and I attended many a meeting of the Movement for the Ordination of Women, or MO, as it was known, in her house. And I remember her saying how many young male curates she'd trained, seeing them going off to become vicars somewhere, and feeling very frustrated. Nevertheless, she persisted. Was ordained priest in the Church of England in that first year, 1994. I think she was in the second group to be ordained. She had her own parish in London until she retired to Gateshead, but where she still has a license to officiate. Nevertheless, she persisted. While many women today know quite well what it's like to be quieted, nevertheless, they have persisted. I think of the young women in Iran, not forgetting the young men who are supporting them, and the many young women across the world, especially in Africa, who are climate activists. Nevertheless, they have persisted. And I love how these words especially ring true this morning. For one thing, here we are on the last Sunday in this year's Women's History Month. And while women still continue to be silenced at some pulpits and altars, well, let's just say, I'm very thankful for the many women who have gone before us to pave the way, and for the many communities who do support women in ministry, like this one. Nevertheless, they persisted. But these words can also be heard crying out this morning through our gospel reading in John. Here in the midst of our very long story about the death and resurrection of Lazarus, we keep hearing the voices of Martha and Mary. And despite the fact that their female voices had no importance or place in that society, nevertheless, they persisted. Now, as we are getting ready to follow Jesus toward Jerusalem beginning next week, some of you might be wondering why I would focus on these women rather than focus on what might seem to be the obvious good news of this story, Jesus' act of raising Lazarus from the dead and thus foreshadowing his own death and resurrection that we will soon encounter. And yes, this is indeed good news. Through Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus conquers death and brings forth new life. And not just in a heavenly kind of sense, somewhere out there in another time and another place. But the resurrection of Lazarus shows us that we don't have to sit around and wait until our physical bodies die before we get to experience this new life that Jesus offers us. And we don't have to wait until Easter before we get to live as resurrection people. Rather, in Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus actually brings about new life right here and right now. You see, just as Jesus caused Lazarus to emerge from the tomb, he calls us to do so as well. Jesus calls us out of the tomb from our own sense of lifelessness, and he frees us from the worldly expectations, insecurities, and sin that bind us. Yes, Jesus offers us new life, calling us to no longer live as we are dead, but rather to choose to live our lives fully. This is indeed good news. But the thing that I think is often missed when we look at this resurrection in story in John is that this good news would not have been proclaimed had it not been for the two women. The resurrection of Lazarus would not have even taken place if it weren't for the persistence of Martha and Mary. You see, it was Martha and Mary who sent a message to Jesus, letting him know Lazarus was ill in the first place. And when Lazarus died because Jesus had waited around for 2 whole days before going to Bethany to see him, it was Martha who confronted Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Nevertheless, she persisted. And when it seemed like Jesus was not going to do anything about the death of Martha's brother, it was Martha who ran to her sister Mary and told her to go find Jesus. Nevertheless, she persisted. And when Mary was distraught over the death of her brother, it was she who fell at Jesus' feet, pleading, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Nevertheless, she persisted. You see, it was the persistence of these two women whom Jesus loved dearly that opened his eyes to their pain, which greatly disturbed him in spirit and deeply moved him to tears. It was Mary and Martha's persistence that moved the one who is the resurrection and the life to compassionately respond to their suffering by raising Lazarus from the dead, calling him out of the tomb and inviting Jesus' disciples to help free Lazarus from all that kept him bound. So we too, like Martha and Mary, keep on persisting, even and especially in times like these that, let's be honest, feel quite hopeless. May we too, like Jesus' disciples, open our eyes to the good news being proclaimed through those who do persist. And may we too, like Jesus, be greatly disturbed in spirit at the suffering and injustice around us, and thus be deeply moved to respond. Amen.